B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Mentality.
They put the stank on it, as I like to say.
Yeah, they put a lot of stank on it. Second thing is this. Here's where I think it's going to happen at the end this weekend. It's going to come down to whoever gets the opening kickoff. If the Eagles get the ball first, what's going to happen is this. They're going to keep the Atlanta, or they should, keep the Atlanta offense off the field for that first drive, and they should run it. Trey, you can probably tell them, when you enter a game, there's a difference between the adrenaline you have if you get the ball first than if you're on the sidelines and you're kind of watching the game and let your nerves settle down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It takes them an extra second probably to get mentally focused. They're going to run that ball, and they're probably going to pound the rock up the middle. Their linebackers are a little smaller and faster. We have a big line. They're going to make them respect the run, and then you will probably see a shot downfield.
Yeah.
Last question is this for Trey. I always wondered this. When you used to play, who was the one player that you were like, I got my work cut out for me this week, and all week you were just kind of like, okay, this is the other alpha that I'm going against that gives me a good match?
Yeah, that's what they call it, Tim.
Hey, Simeon Rice. Simeon Rice was the toughest guy that I had to deal with, and I get this asked a lot. So I'm always, man, Simeon Rice was always an extremely difficult pass rusher for me. You know, he made us change the way that we blocked, you know, and he was just an awkward guy, man, you know, and we would have to, me and Juan and I would sit in the meeting room and, hey, T, I think we need to do this, T. Let's try this, T. And then we would go out there and get somebody, a smaller, faster guy to work against to kind of work it out, and, you know, but he was difficult for me.
Gotcha. You're listening to 975 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. On the line with us right now, the single best live sports producer in the universe, really. I mean, I'm not even going to say America. I'm not even going to say the world. I'm going to say the universe, ladies and gentlemen, in the Milky Way galaxy. We're going to talk to Fred Gedeli on the line with us right now from NBC Sunday Night Football, producer extraordinaire. What's going on, Fred?
You're way too kind, but thank you. I'm doing great.
Awesome. Fred, I know I've called you this before. You are the biggest football fan I know. Like, you love the game of football. And this is a game where I know the modern era of football is going to be the kind of the people that are the fans of the modern version of the game, the high-flying passing attack that is today. You have Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz. You have a lot of weapons on the Falcons defense or offense. You have a lot of weapons on the Eagles offense. How do you focus in on this as a producer trying to zero in on who's going to be the stud of the game?
Well, look, you know who the great players are. That's no mystery, right? I mean, you know, Julio Jones is a great player. You know, Fletcher Cox is a great player. You know, Wentz and, you know, Matt Ryan, certainly. So, I mean, that part of it's not hard. But, you know, the interesting thing is we've done these last two games, the divisional game back in, you know, January of 2018, and then the opener last year in September. And they've been low-scoring games. You know, the defenses have kind of had their way. Now, one game you could say it was cold. Obviously, it wasn't cold last year on an opening day. But I find this interesting. Obviously, Carson Wentz played in neither of those games, right? It was Nick Foles both times. And so, to me, Wentz is the X factor in this game because he hasn't been a part of it. He had a tremendous second half last week, especially on third down. So it's an interesting matchup, but I'll say this. The heat is on in Atlanta because if they turn in another game like last week in their home opener, it's going to be a long season down there.
Certainly, and we'll get to the Falcons in a second, but I'm always curious because as someone like yourself that examines both sides so closely, the Eagles have an interesting situation coming into the season, not just for this game, but coming into the season. It's about the health of Carson Wentz, all the weapons in front of him, and also a defense trying to show that they can, you know, they can prove themselves after some struggles last year, especially against the deep ball. When you look at the Eagles really going into the season, not just this game, what's the main storyline to you?
Can Carson Wentz play 16 games plus? I mean, if he can do that, I mean, I'm looking at Philly. I don't see a lot of weaknesses. They're going to get some guys back in the secondary, I would imagine, at some point during the season. You know, can Jason Peters make it, you know, 16? I don't know. To me, he's still one of the best tackles in football. Not what he was, but still one of the best. But to me, it comes down to Wentz. You know, can he make it 16 games plus? Because Foles Magic left town.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people were, of course, keeping a close eye on what happened with Nick Foles in week one and unfortunately getting injured. But the other side of that, when you look at some of the weapons that have come in here for Carson Wentz, and he's got the history with Alshon Jeffery, and he certainly had a great season last year with Zach Ertz. But DeSean Jackson comes back to the nest here in Philadelphia, and a lot of people are excited about that. Had an incredible first game back in Philadelphia. How much of a storyline will D-Jax be going into this one?
Well, it's huge because, you know, look, we don't even know anything about Atlanta's pass defense, right? I mean, they faced 10 passes last week and Cousins completed 8 of them. So, you know, they've got a guy playing at one corner who's in his second year, Isaiah Oliver. He's a starter, didn't play much last year. I would imagine he'll be giving up a pretty good cushion to DeSean Jackson. I never understood why DeSean Jackson was traded. I mean, he was such a, and is still, such a weapon. He's a threat every time he touches the ball, no matter where he touches the ball. I think he gives Philly something they really haven't had the last couple of years, that burner, that guy that can really, you know, stretch a defense. And it's just going to make it a lot better for guys like Alshon and Ertz and Aguilar and even their backs. You know, to me, I never understood, you know, getting rid of DeSean Jackson.
Fred, you said it's kind of a must-win for Atlanta this week after what happened with them in Minnesota. And I want to ask you, do you view them as a struggling team or a team that just struggled in week one?
I don't know. You know, I don't know the answer to that question. I think their offensive line is going to have a tough time with, you know, Philly's defensive line. And usually games are won or lost right there. I think that's going to be a big challenge. I think if their offensive line could get a draw in this game, which is a lot to ask. You know, I think that gives them a better chance to win. But I don't really know. I mean, look, you know, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are a tremendous combination. You know, is Devontae Freeman as good as he was a couple of years ago? We don't know. We haven't really seen him healthy now in over a season and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about Atlanta. I think we find out because I think Minnesota is a playoff caliber team. Obviously, Philly, in my opinion, is a playoff-caliber team. So, you know, if they get trounced by two playoff-caliber teams out of the gate, you know, I would say that, you know, you've got some legitimate questions about, you know, what's the future in Atlanta.
Speaking with Frank Ghedelli, producer of NBC Sunday Night Football, Eagles, Falcons, of course, Sunday Night Football from Atlanta. What's this new camera angle I'm seeing this year, Fred? I'm loving it.
Well, you know, Mark... Football's been done pretty much the same way since 1939. So we're trying to, you know, bring people a little bit closer. So we've taken Skycam and moved it. You know, last year we tried, you know, to do some live coverage from behind. We did some audience testing in the off season, and people loved it up until the snap. Then they wanted the side angle.
Sure.
You know, so we've brought it to the side. And I don't know that we are perfectly happy with what we've done so far. Actually, we're not. But we're still kind of refining it. So we're doing it like a series per half. So we're trying to put the people on the line of scrimmage, basically, for every play. It was great last week when the Steelers had a third and one and didn't make it. You were right there. You saw they didn't make it. You know, then Brady threw a bomb to Dorsett, not as good as what the real camera would have been. So we're still trying to refine what we're doing, but just trying to take, you know, televised football into the 21st century.
Now, Fred, we have one more technical question we want to ask you in a second, but regarding the Atlanta Falcons, you mentioned the heat is on in Atlanta. Are you getting the sense from players down there, maybe, I don't know if you've had your conversations with them yet already or not, but are you getting a sense that they're feeling a lot of pressure already in week two?
We haven't gone to the facility. I'm actually going to be leaving here in about an hour and a half to go and talk. But you just know how it works in professional sports now. You know, I mean, hey, this was a Super Bowl team in 2016. They won a playoff game in 2017. You know, lost a tough one in Philly in the divisional round. Last year, you know, a tremendous amount of injuries. So you give it a pass. But it's a team that's built to win right now. And, you know, if you come out against two teams that I think most people would say are playoff caliber, Minnesota and Philly, and are non-competitive, you know, I think it's going to make for a long year, and the heat will get turned up down here, and I think they'll be feeling the pressure. They can't I mean, when you go back and watch, I mean, like I did that Viking game last week, I mean, they were fairly non-competitive in the first half of that game.
Speaking of Fred Gundeli, producer for Sunday Night Football on NBC, Eagles-Falcons Sunday night kickoff. Fred, with some unfortunate technical difficulties in last night's Thursday Night Football game, there was a Super Bowl a couple of years ago where lights went out and they couldn't turn them on. What is the thing you had? Oh, ESPN. They had a situation with their first down, or sorry, their down and distance marker. People thought it was saying a flag was on the field. What's something that's happened in your live television career where you had to all of a sudden hit an audible?
Oh, man. Well, I would probably go back to the Atlanta-New England game a couple of years ago when, unpredicted, the fog rolled in and it made the game unviewable from the regular game cameras. So that we ended up covering the entire second half. Luckily, that night was the first time we ever had two sky cams. And we covered the entire second half, you know, from the two sky cams. I mean, the ground cameras you could see a little bit, but the traditional game cameras that people are used to watching the game from, you couldn't see the players. You couldn't see the field. I remember we took a shot from behind Alan Chris in the booth. I mean, it was just basically clouds. You couldn't see anything, you know, so that one stands out, as, you know, having to call an audible and say, okay, we're covering the game like this until this fog rolls out, which, of course, it didn't roll out by the time the end of the game, so we did the entire second half that way.
Well, we could certainly identify with anything fog in Philadelphia. We still remember that one. The other part of this, Fred, 100 years of the NFL, like I said, aside from being a producer of Sunday Night Football, also the biggest just overall football fan I know. When you think 100 years of the NFL, what jumps to mind for you?
A
moment for you as a football fan or your career that really echoes through you and says, oh, that sums up 100 years for me.
Oh, man, that's a hard one.
I know, and I just threw it to you.
He asks the hard questions, Fred. I mean, that's what he does.
I've seen some of the greatest plays, you know, in NFL history, as, you know, in games that I covered, the Music City Miracle, Philly Special, James Harrison's 100-yard return to close the second half in Super Bowl 43.
Mm-hmm.
Santonio Holmes in the same game.
Yeah.
Malcolm Butler coming literally out of nowhere, you know, to end that Super Bowl. That's a hard one, man. You know, it's funny. I voted on a lot of these top 100 polls, you know, like not the players or the coaches, but like moments and things of that nature. If I had to pick one that to me says this is professional football just because of the two teams in the game, where the game was played, and the players in that game, I think I would say Bart Starr's quarterback sneak in the ice ball.
Oh, wow.
That to me is professional football. It's the Packers. It's the Cowboys. It's the frozen tundra. How many Hall of Famers on the field that day? I'm going to guess a dozen. Jeez. At least a dozen.
Wow.
I would say maybe that play right there.
That's incredible. Fred Gundeli, we can't wait to watch the game, obviously, on Sunday because of our birds and also the way you guys present the game to us in Philly. We look forward to talking to you throughout the season, Fred. Thanks so much for coming on with us, as always.
Anytime, Mark.
All right, Fred, thanks, absolutely. Fred Gundeli, NBC Sunday Night Football Goosebumps.
That's a great answer. Because as you asked it, you know, I'm thinking through the years, but that might be one of the most iconic plays in NFL history. Mm. And if you want to localize it, could be Chuck Bednarik standing over Frank Gifford.
Oh, that to me, and the picture of Chuck Bednarik in the locker room after the game with the cigar and the big smile on his face.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, because I knew I could throw Fred that, and he'd give me at least some great moments, not just one, but I knew he'd give me a bunch. I remember a thing. We had a younger guy on the crew one time, and he was a little nervous. And
it was not Jamie. No.
And they you could tell that the guy was nervous, and Fred was like, "Hey, is everything cool?" And it was just like, I just got to learn some stuff about football. And I guess he didn't know who Fred was because he didn't get hired by Fred. And he was like, what do you know about football? He said that to Fred. And Fred goes, everything. What do you need? it was like not in a condescending, like cocky manner. It was just like, yeah, what do you need? That kind of thing. And the guy certainly grew up a huge fan of the game. Warren and Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Warren?
Morning, boys. How are we?
Hey, Warren.
Good.
How good is that Cam Newton? Oh, man. And those refs, did you see it when they almost caused the game? The guy has the football, throws it to the other official, and he moves it up a yard. He gave him the first down. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Cam Newton is the worst. Anyway, I got to tell you, I'm an older fart, and I saw that game. And that's where they got that whole thing, the frozen tundra. And if I'm not mistaken, it was as cold as this ever was. And Walter Johnson, if he didn't have a finger amputated, I know it was forced. But if you look it up, that was one of the most ridiculous cold days I can remember in my lifetime. But that was what football. It was snot. It was spit. It was cold. It was football. But anyway.
Wow. No, the Ice Bowl, 1967, for those that, for some of our younger listeners. Yeah, it was Packers. It was Cowboys, unfortunately. And yeah, that QB sneak, Bart Starr. That is, I mean, really.
I didn't see the game, Mark.
I thought you were there, Bob. No.
Stop looking at
me. No. But, like, that is a great way to sum it up, man.
It wasn't unfortunate. The Cowboys lost. How could it be unfortunate?
Wait, say it again.
You said it was unfortunate you made a remark with the
Cowboys. Yeah, it's unfortunate because it's a Cowboys, although they did lose.
They lost. Who cares?
Good point.
I respect all your knowledge, but this I've got to ask Trey almost. What I see and what I don't get, you have the capability, yes, you can do what you did in the Super Bowl 2 years ago and go score for score for any with anybody in the league. What I don't want to see is I don't want you keeping teams in the game that have no right to be there. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping we learned our lesson from last year, but I still watch Jim Schwartz on 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, playing 14 yards off the ball. I don't know if this is going to be a permanent thing or not, but if you're a better team, if you stop them on 1st and 2nd down, they don't get a yard, you know what that prevents defense really means? It prevents you from winning. I don't want to see this all year, and I'm not picking on. I believe we can win every game by outscoring, but just for the player's health, just for the easy thing, I'd much rather have a 28-point lead where I can rest my starters. It's a long season, and that's the only problem I might see. Trey, one question.
Uh-huh.
I love Darren Sproles. He did a lot. He meant a lot, and they brought him back. I think it was as much as a, you know, thank you so much as they signed him. But I watched this kid Howard, and the 7 carries he had, I'm watching him push a pile like there's nobody's business. This kid was a good runner with a bad Chicago quarterback. I don't want to see Sproles get 8-9 carries. I want to see Howard get the ball. Do you see this?
Yeah, I think they're going to change it up. I think the game plan is going to be changing week to week. And I think Doug and them, they know what they want to do. And they, I guess against Washington, they were like, all right, we're going to go with the steady hand with Sproles. And then because he's a scat back kind of someone that's hard to find, someone, you know, to kind of dice up the defense. So I see them changing it up week to week. So I do see a little bit more leaning on Howard. And also, too, when you look at the yardage of Sproles compared to the all-time leaders of in the NFL history, I think right now Sproles is at 6, and he's only like a couple yards away from taking over the 5th place. So I think they're trying to help Sproles with boosting him up that list, too.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's all good and well. And as I said, I don't believe it's going to cost him. I just don't want to see, because it happened quite a bit last year. If you can beat a team up on 1st and 2nd down, you can beat them up on 3rd down, too. Boys, I appreciate the time. You have a great weekend. Let's go, Bird!
There we go, Warren, my man. There we go. I'm like everybody else. I opened the door this morning, right? Uh-huh. Go to leave the house.
Yeah.
And just right in my face.
Smack.
Just, it was fall. It was that beautiful fall football weather. Like, look, I was excited for week 1. But now I feel like we're in the middle of the season just because of how it felt when I opened the door this morning.
Yeah.
Is it still like that out? Anyone leave the house recently?
Well, we went down and got the pizza. There was a little chill in the air.
It was a little crisp.
Yeah.
It was a crisp.
I didn't even get a chance to really feel it because I woke up a little late.
He's like, I'll be there soon as long as I don't get pulled over.
Yeah.
And then how crazy is it that we get these nice union shirts today? Right?
Uh-huh.
And Trey, you got your old union shirt on.
Yeah, I came with my union shirt on.
Yeah. The bean ball.
The soccer jersey is a very comfortable item.
Boy, is it.
Yeah.
But man, you opened that door this morning, and it was like you already have a football Friday on the mind, and then you just get that crispness in the air.
Mm.
Oh, man, football season, fall weather, it's here, baby. It's here after it was like, 107 degrees yesterday?
Yeah.
It's like fall weather today.
I wish we could go a little more, little more warmth for a little longer, but whatever.
Right, you'll be all right. It's going up to 80s next week. Don't worry.
All right.
All right. Now, we talked about these numbers, and we'll give them to you again a little bit later. But really, it's an interesting dynamic. And Fred brought up a great point when he was on with us. NBC has had both broadcasts of the last time these teams played each other.
Right.
Once was in the playoffs, 2 years ago, obviously. And then last year in what opened up the season on Thursday night, also known, Trey, as the night we booed. Uh-huh. when the banner became unfurled, if you will, mm-hmm. that we booed. Both low-scoring affairs. So yeah. When you look at these offensive weapons, why are we going in the direction of, oh, yeah, this will be more of a shootout? Because obviously for the Eagles, you got reason to believe that. They got their number one guy back, their number one quarterback, Carson Wentz. He's going to be playing. The other side of it, they've had their number one guy. They've had their weapons and yeah. haven't been successful. Now, Calvin Ridley, I don't remember too much from in the opener last year, but I remember last year he came on very strong towards the end of the season. Julio Jones has always been good against the Eagles, but they've always kept him out of the end zone. We talked about his numbers. He averages in his five games against the Eagles in his career, he averages over 100 yards per game.
They're going to move the ball in between the 20s. Like, yes. Everybody has to accept that now.
Mm-hmm.
All that matters is stopping them inside the 20.
And that, I'll give you these numbers right now. These come from Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation. I saw these numbers. He put them together here. 51 times, Matt Ryan. 51 times, Matt Ryan, in their last three games, has targeted Julio Jones.
Mm.
In three games!
Yeah.
Julio Jones. There is a just under 57% completion percentage, 405 yards. It's about 8 yards per attempt, zero touchdowns, two interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 66. Big goose egg next to that touchdown, though.
That's uh-huh. not bad at all.
I'll take that.
That's kind of shocking.
Well, it's more than kind of shocking.
Jalen Mills has been the guy in the past to body him up in the red zone.
You're right.
Does that give anyone concern that he's not out there?
It does. The only thing that I'm looking at now is that Jalen Mills, I believe, has some more speed than Rasul Douglas does. Rasul Douglas came into the season a little bit more tone, I think, expected to play.
So Rasul is your new red zone Jalen?
Only because, like, what other corner do you trust to play more physical? Red zone, yes, exactly, because you're not going to get burned in the red zone necessarily.
Yeah.
Right, Trey?
Yeah.
Keep him in front of you and also play a lot more physical.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of football Rasul Douglas, a safety in college, is more likely to play and more comfortable playing. That's what I look forward to seeing. 610-632-0975. It is unfortunate. Jalen Mills was walking around yesterday. He's confident he'll be back at some point. I mean, I'd like a little bit more confidence, but he is a guy that I know a lot of people want to rag on, but at least you know he's competing every single down.
Uh-huh. It lends to my concern about the secondary. Are we rooting for Jalen Mills to hurry back?
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, but again, Bob, what have we been saying? The defensive backs on this team, the secondary of this team, has got a lot of praise over the offseason. Because of how they ended the season. Like, they looked better as the season went on last year. But they're not great. Like, it's weird. They left us with, like, I think, a good taste in our mouth, I guess. But when it comes to the way, I guess, they started the season, they were struggling a lot.
And
they started out this first game of the season allowing, what, 380 yards through the air?
Yeah, to Case Keenum.
And it's not a wide range.
Case Keenum.
Right. It's not a wide range of, Jalen Mills to whatever it might be, Avante right. Maddox. They're all good. They're not great. They're far from great. I think they're far from terrible. But we know what their weaknesses are, and so do the other teams. And they're exploiting them. And that's what happened in game one. Now Matt Ryan's going to get an opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is the range of their talent isn't that far. Nobody on this secondary right now is great.
Right, exactly.
None of the cornerbacks are great. They're all okay.
Right.
But we all have our concerns about every one of them.
Exactly, yeah. And it's that, and I think they're going to learn, as I said, they're going to learn something really about themselves come Monday night, or Sunday night, rather, against Matt Ryan, whether good or bad. I think we're going to come out with a better feeling of it. And I just think somebody has to come up and make some big plays for them.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. There's somebody out there, I believe, in the free agency market right now that people are looking at? Or is it
a Dolphin?
It can't be a
former Dolphin?
No, it has to be a trade.
A trade, yeah, Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
You know, he grew up an Eagles fan?
Yes, he did. People are now kicking those tires and throwing them our way.
Well, reportedly, they're asking for a first rounder.
Shocking. 610-632-0097. Coming up, are the Phillies doing it to us again? We'll also get our Eagles prediction, our weekly Eagles prediction for the start of the season from Ricky Pitalico of NBC Sports Philadelphia. And also examine whether or not the Phillies, because this is what the main concern is right now. Two games out of a wild card spot. More people want to know about whether or not JT Realmuto will be back next year or not. Talk to Ricky Pitalico and get his Birds prediction as well coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Going into this next break, we're going to have our Temple giveaway as we did yesterday. Temple taking on Maryland this weekend. That's right, baby. Get excited for the Cherry White. And Anthony Russo. What's that?
Do y'all play Florida State?
I think they played them already and they whooped their ass. I think that's, I don't know if you missed that.
I missed it.
Where were you? Having a park dedicated to yourself or something?
Yeah, probably just chilling out.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, that's
just
what happens with
Trey. Normal stuff, you know.
Yeah, I got to go to Florida. You're dedicating a park to me.
You're going down Monday?
Yes.
After the show, you're going Monday to Florida.
That's the plan.
For the announcement of a park dedication, but not the park dedication itself.
Yeah.
Right.
When is the park dedication?
I got to talk to my mom.
I say dedication, and like, Bob, like your joke we had at the break, it's the memorial.
Well, it's a funny story. Tim McCarver, longtime Phillies catcher, one time they named a park after him. They unveiled the sign that says Tim McCarver Memorial Park. And he looked at the sign, and McCarver was a real funny guy. He looked at it, he goes, what the hell they do? Name it after my arm or something?
610-632-0975. Speaking of a man with a live arm.
I'll bet she has parks named after him.
Oh, my. How many parks?
Or stalls in a bathroom. Something named after him.
Something. Wow. Coming out firing. Ricky Pitalico from NBC Sports Philadelphia, Phillies pre and post. What's up, brother?
Urinal cakes, Bob. Urinal cakes.
Ricky, you still on vacay? Where you at right now?
I'm in Hilton Head.
Oh, living the life. Hilton Head, South Carolina. Good for you.
Terrible weather.
Is it really with the whole thing going on?
No, nothing. No damage, nothing.
Wow. Oh, that's right. You were telling me it just missed it, right?
I don't know how it missed. There's no trees down, nothing. It's the oddest thing you've ever seen.
Ricky, are the Phillies doing that thing again where they're like flirting with being a good team and then they get us interested and then they end up dumping us?
It's either that or this second wild card is there just to keep everybody in it until the last week of the season. Because, I mean, it's so odd because the Phillies have had opportunities to really cut this lead or even take over the wild card lead, and then they just fall down. You know, at least today they can only lose a half game or gain a half game, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But, I mean, this is a big stretch coming up. You have the Red Sox, you have the Atlanta at Atlanta, and then you have Cleveland. Yeah, it's do or die time. The worst part is you didn't want them to be in this situation at the beginning of the season.
I'm curious. I know you've been off, but here's the deal. Did you hear the Dallas Keuchel comments following the game two nights ago?
No, please tell me.
Oh, my goodness. Do we have them? We need to go back and get these for you. I meant to have these ready for you. Dallas Keuchel gets asked after the game that he beat the Phillies six innings, one run. He gets asked whether or not there's any animosity to the Phillies not knocking on his door. Ricky, take a listen.
I mean, if you don't come calling, what is there for me to be mad about? I think a lot of those guys over there in the front office are second-guessing themselves, and, I mean, I would too.
A lot of guys in the Phillies front office second-guessing themselves over not signing him early in the season. Ricky Pitalico, your thoughts?
You probably should have signed him. He's a good pitcher. He's got a proven track record. Maybe he just didn't fit into their analytics. I don't know why they wouldn't go after him. I mean, yeah, I'm being serious.
Right.
You guys are laughing, but maybe it just wasn't a fit for the Phillies. But, you know, like you said, why would he be mad? They never came calling. Why would he be mad at them?
Right. But do you think he's saying that? Is he going out of his way to say that? If he didn't have...
Is there some sarcasm in there?
No, yeah, no. Well, I don't know if sarcasm is... At least not for the way I'm thinking of it. I'm just saying, I don't know if he's that honest unless he would have come to Philadelphia. Like, if he had some interest. Right, exactly.
He probably would have gone where there was a nice offer.
Right.
He wasn't getting those offers. I mean, bottom line is, you're a free agent. You're not necessarily looking and saying, I have to go to this city or that city. You probably have about six or seven in mind, especially if you thought you were a top-notch free agent. You probably have six or seven cities in mind. You wait for them to come calling. They don't come calling, and you're like, oh, well, you know, you move on. You move on where the money is. That's what bottom line of baseball free agency is. Don't let anybody kid you. Come on. If they would have offered Harper half the money, you think he would have came here? No. The answer is no.
Of course.
It's very simple.
What do you see from Aaron Nola? Is it visible to you? Is it just out there that he's struggling because is it tired? Is it going every fifth day? Is that getting to him? What do you see out of him, Rick?
Well, going every fifth day is a joke because that's what starters are supposed to do. So you got to wipe that right off the list.
All right.
I just think he's tired. I think he's run into, you know, at some point during the season, you hit a brick wall. It was just a bad time for him to hit the brick wall. I don't see anything else. I mean, his pitches are a little flat, and his curveball's rolling a little bit more than diving. So, I would say he's probably a little bit tired, and it shows. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's not the same guy right now.
Ricky Batalco, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Phillies pre and post. Before I get your Eagles prediction for this weekend, where they're playing the Falcons Sunday Night Football, I got to ask you this. JT Realmuto, does he come back on a mega deal next season and for years to come?
You have to. I don't think there's any doubt. I think you definitely have to. I think this is a guy who has proven himself. You know, he came in here and he learned his pitching staff well. He learned the bullpenners, and there's been a ton of them, as we know. And hitting-wise, he has really come on in the last 2.5 months. He's been outstanding. I mean, the guy's got 82 RBIs right now. There is an outside chance. I will say he gets to 100, probably not. But, I mean, at least he's given himself some pretty good numbers to go on. So if the Phillies want to sign him, he's there for the taking.
I hope they pull that off, Ricky. I'll let you get back to enjoying your fine vacation. But before I do, Eagles or Falcons Sunday? Who you got?
Eagles.
Listen to the confidence in Ricky Batalico.
It's boring.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
You're boring.
Wow. You guys,
go hit a golf ball 300 yards, will you?
I definitely will. Uh-huh.
300 yards left or right.
Ricky turned into a meteorologist last Wednesday when he's like, I got to go to Hilton Head. There's a storm. And I just saw that if this front comes in this direction, it's going to knock the storm off course and just miss Hilton Head because I got to golf.
He said he shot an 81 at Harbortown. I asked him off air what he played. Damn.
I wanted to question why he's taking a vacation in a playoff run for the Phillies, the team that he covers?
Because he said his brother got a house in Hilton Head and he got free rounds at Harbortown.
Yeah,
questioning
him.
Next week I'm going to question him. Back here, I'm going to say, how nice of you to come back for a playoff run.
Bob, why do you...
Way to do your job, Rick.
Why do you hate Ben Davis? Ben Davis got to work, too. Why you got to hate Ben Davis? That's Irish on Irish crime, my friend. Come on now. 610-632-0.
Don't make me look bad. I can do that myself.
No, that's I guarantee you when I see Ben, he'll mention that to me. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll give our final predictions for Eagles-Falcons on Sunday Night Football prime time game. Even more amped up for it than I would normally be because that little fall air hit me a little earlier this morning. 610-632-0975.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Did anybody see that catch by Adam Haseley yesterday, by the way, real quick?
Talk about shoestring.
Centimeter? Somebody just sent me a screen grab. They didn't put it in slow-mo. Bad job by the broadcast by Fox on that play last night, because they didn't give you the super slow-mo of the ball going in or out of the glove.
I wasn't thrilled with Fox's coverage.
Nah, that's that thing. Well, A-Rod's a part of it, and he's starting to wear on me as an announcer. But nonetheless, great play by Adam Haseley. Do have to give you our tool of the week. Does it kind of go without saying this week? Who it was taken by? I mean, it goes to a whole group of tailgaters, and that was a story early on in the week from F-Lot. The guy was on with Mike in the afternoon later in the week, and he sounded very remorseful. But it's one of those things that if it wasn't Mike Scott, if it didn't get the highlight that it did throughout this week, would it be happening again in a week or two when the Eagles come back to play the Lions on December 22nd? So, look, the guy hurt himself. He checked himself, and he apologized. And it looks like, according to him, he said his tailgating days are done when he was on with Mike. I guess we had the audio, what was it, Tuesday morning?
Yes.
And then the guy called in to Mike after hearing himself, and Mike calling him out all afternoon. And he came on, and he said his tailgating days were done.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's done.
I replayed it for Donna later on that afternoon, and she had the best line, I thought. And this is how she said it. I almost feel sorry for that guy.
Wow. Yeah.
Almost.
Man, I'm never, don't cross Donna. Don't ever. The tool of the week brought to you by Hollid's True Value and Garden Center. This fall, you got to make sure you head to Hollid's True Value and Garden Center in Lafayette Hill to find everything you need for your home, your garden, your project, your party, or even your tailgate. If you need it, Hollid's has it. Now, also our big sexy report. Did you hear this story? Now, I got to be honest. It's worth replaying. Unfortunately, it came from 2015. It's a little older. But somebody shared it in our Slack channel, and somebody retweeted it recently, and it kind of fell back into it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Youngstown, Ohio, where a woman's being interviewed outside her home that was just set on fire, and she won't give up the goods. Here you go.
So what was going on? What were your thoughts?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't ever think it was going to happen to us.
Do you know how this fire started?
Yes, I do. It was because of my cousin. And I don't want to mention no names.
Your cousin?
Yes.
And you say you think your cousin started this. Do you know how or why?
He's mad because he can't get with me. I'm married to my husband. And it's a long story.
But I'd love to hear it.
I did a little research because I was like, wait a minute, how old is this? And it came out in 2015. Who the hell cares? It's still funny. That is our big sexy report brought to you by Delilah's Settlements Club and Steakhouse. Always on time. My cousin started the fire.
I love how she's like, I'm married to my husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's married is why she won't make out with her cousin or get with her cousin.
Get with.
My cousin started the fire. He wants to leave. Oh, never mind. All right. Sam, go on. Before we give our final takes here on our Twitter poll, on the game, what is our Twitter poll? How did it round out?
This morning we asked, will the Eagles win this Sunday? We had just under 1,400 votes today, and it stayed the same all day. 85% said yes, they will win.
Overwhelming majority still confident they come away from week two, 2-0 on the season. That brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on any style window. Make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit WindowNation.com to take advantage of that 50% off sale on any style window. 9 o'clock hour, by the way, brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag at your estate, Home Depot, and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBagster.com. I like the over against the Falcons. I like the Eagles winning this game in a close one, but I like it nonetheless. I'm going to go 35-31 Philadelphia Eagles over the Falcons in week two. Trey Thomas, your prediction.
35-14.
35.
Wow.
Whoa. This guy with the trenches and whatnot. Love it. Bob Cooney.
31-28 Eagles.
31-28. Jamie Lynch.
I originally had this game as a loss, and I flipped. 34-31 Eagles.
Did I flip you? Did I?
No, Trey Thomas and their awful offensive line flipped me.
Oh, well, thanks. All right. Sam, what do you got?
I have 28-27 just because I think it's going to be close because the Falcons, it's crucial they don't go down 0-2.
That's a good point. Fred told us it's already hot in Hotlanta. Sam, What is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day, this is going to be a shameless plug right here, guys.
Oh, so, my God. Well, congratulations. You've learned radio.
Yeah. I took that from you.
Babes,
I think you did it
damn
once.
Damn right. Yes. There's no shame in this. There's no
I learn everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, from you guys.
There's no humility.
So, Babes on Broad, my podcast with Jess Town through BGN Radio, we just debuted today. So,
hey,
it's out on iTunes under BGN Radio.
iTunes, I can listen to that?
Yeah. It's 45 minutes, so it's simple.
Give it a listen.
Let me know what you guys think.
Absolutely.
Not perfect, but.
Oh, wow. Well, come on. So oversell it a little.
It's our first one ever.
Oversell it a little bit.
I mean, yeah, okay, you're right. We're great.
It's correct.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. Confident.
Jamie, let's take away
the This is the deepest, most profound thought I've ever had. Go Birds.
Wow.
Go Birds! I forgot that.
Oh, that's pretty good. I don't even know how to bounce back.
I don't know how you're going to top it.
Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
We talked earlier, but with you and Jamie both doubting on Drew Brees, I said I wanted to throw a bet out there.
Oh, right,
so
yes.
Here it is.
Oh, the bet. Here we go. Jamie,
all
listen
right.
to this.
Yards plus touchdowns minus interceptions. The total has to be 4,000 for Drew Brees. If it's over 4,000 or over, I win. You guys owe me breakfast. If it's under 4,000, that's total yards thrown plus touchdowns minus interceptions. Then you guys owe me breakfast.
That's a horrible bet for us to take.
Why?
What the hell?
Mark,
you guys said he's declining. He only threw for 3,800 last year.
So you're saying he's going to be even better?
Take it or leave it.
Why don't we just do yards per attempt? What's going
on? No.
You're making me do math. Plus touchdowns.
Why am I?
Minus interceptions.
My brain hurts.
Take it, guys. Yeah. I say take it.
I take the bet.
Sure, we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, what are they betting?
I don't remember.
Breakfast.
No, breakfast.
I blacked out.
Yeah, breakfast. It's breakfast. All right, Trey Tyler's takeaway.
I don't even know what happened.
Go Birds! My takeaway of the day is I can't wait to visit William Wyatt Trey Thomas III's Park.
Big Can of Thunder Park.
Big Can of Thunder Park!
DeLand, Florida.
DeLand, Florida!
Slash Zeus. We're flying down for that.
We are. We're doing a show remote.
Yes.
Go Birds, baby! Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.